Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Joining us now on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline, she covers the Browns for the Plain Dealer in Cleveland.com. She's Mary Kay Cabot. Mary, Kevin is one of us. How about that, Mary Kay?
Yeah, and the big news of that is that he, as I wrote this morning, he decided on the west side as opposed to the east side. Now, we remember, we go back to his interview, his introductory interview when he became Browns head coach, and he did an informal poll that day with each one of us as we asked our questions, east side or west side. He was trying to figure out the big debate. And so we all followed up our questions with where we lived. And then we have had a couple of souths as well. But he settled upon the west side, and I think he'll be very happy with that decision.
So does that mean if you're an east side reporter, you're never going to get your questions answered?
Yeah, you're done.
You're toast.
I'm not sure if he remembers who was where. Here's the thing about Cleveland. Most people that move into Cleveland from other cities absolutely end up loving it. They are pleasantly surprised. They can't believe how beautiful it is. They end up loving raising their families here. And really, you can't go wrong if you live on the east side or the west side of Cleveland, because it's just an absolutely great place to raise your family.
Or south.
Or south. Or south. It's just, I can't tell you the amount of coaches and, general managers and people that come through here, that live here. Everyone ends up loving it, and it's just a really great place. I could work for, I could volunteer for Positively Cleveland, every
good.
Day of the week, because I'm so big on the city.
You'd be good. Before we get into some other things, one thing I knew why, but I never quite understood it. When Art Modell owned the Browns, he lived where? Out in Gates Mills, right? I mean, could there be a worse drive going? I mean, if you have to go to the Browns facility every day, and it was at BW or downtown, but at BW back in the day, and then the new place, man, that's a nasty drive. That's a long drive.
Are you serious? Are you serious? Are you really complaining about that?
No, I'm not complaining about it. I knew why why Art lived out there. It's swanky stuff out there, but I get it. But I always thought, man, Art, you got to get in that car and drive that far every day. Okay, it always struck me. I think Coach Sam lived out in that part of town too.
Yeah, a number of coaches, GMs, and people that have worked for the Browns have lived on the east side and swear by it and love it. And what's not to love? I mean,
sure,
my goodness, like I said, you can't go wrong with either side of town. We have so many natural resources with our Emerald Necklace and our Metro Parks and, the lake. And it's just a beautiful place to be. And I think a lot of people right now in the midst of COVID, when it's not snowing outside, we've been able to get outside and enjoy nature. And I know I've been down in the Metro Parks, doing some hiking and stuff like that. So it really is a cool place. I think the Stefanskis are going to be extremely happy in Cleveland.
I hope they're here long enough to be so happy and love it and have the kind of run that he had in Minnesota, Mary Kay, because he clearly is a guy who doesn't mind staying in one place.
No, not at all. And if all goes as planned, he comes from a Jesuit school in Philadelphia, which is very similar to St. Ignatius here. So hopefully for him, his boys will be here and you know, go to St. Ignatius and enjoy that same kind of education that he cherished when he was in Philadelphia.
Mm-hmm. Point of reference, 40-minute drive max most days from Gates Mills, which I don't think it was Gates Mills. What's the city? There's a little city right next to it. No, I can't. I'm going to lose my East Side card on this. 40 minutes from Gates Mills to Berea. Just point of reference, Sergio. Not the
longest. Yeah, I always thought
ever.
That was way too long if you owned the team. He had better things to do. Maybe not.
Mary Kay, anything cooking with this team right now as far as free agents are concerned?
You know, I'm sure there are some things going on sort of, you know, under the radar things. I mean, because there are still some interesting players available. I mean, you still have Clay Matthews out there. You still got Jadeveon Clowney out there. You've got Larry Warford out there. So yeah. I'm sure that they are and have looked into every single one of these guys. They've explored it. I'm sure they've talked to their agents. But, you know, whether anything is imminent or not, I don't know about that yet. You know, I check in from time to time in any way that I possibly can on those things. But as of right now, I don't know that, you know, that anyone is right on the front burner about to get signed.
Andy's screamed out linebackers. Andy's right. I would love to see. And I do expect Mack Wilson to make a step. I can't wait to see what Taki Taki can do in year number two, Mary Kay. And I'm curious about Jacob Phillips. But you mentioned the first name out of your mouth was Clay Matthews. And if it's not Clay, and I think he's the most decorated player that's still out there, I would just feel better if there was somebody there who had more of a track record and maybe an ability to be an on-the-field leader for a real young group, maybe the youngest group on the team.
Well, those are things that I like about Clay. Now, the thing about this defense and the thing that Andrew Berry is doing for Kevin Stefanski and his staff is that he's being very scheme-specific when he's adding players. So if you have a player, you know, on the offensive line, he's going to have to move well. He's going to have good feet. He's going to have to be very agile. So those are the things that he's looking for there. Linebackers, they're looking for a specific thing for the defense that they are going to run. So I'm not 100% certain if Clay Matthews fits exactly precisely the defense that they're going to run and the spot that they would have for him, but he does have some versatility. He has started on the outside. He started on the inside. He had 8 sacks last year, and I do think that the leadership is something that would be invaluable.
You know, again, I still, you know, we talk about this leadership. We talk about, you know, Jeff and I have spent the last week kind of breaking down position by position. And, you know, some of the things that have been said about the Browns offense, like I read just the other day that a lot of people think the Browns offense is a top 10 offense in the National Football League. Is that a fair thing to put on this offense right now, knowing that you put some new pieces in there? And even Jeff and I had a debate yesterday. Jeff, I said I was confident. You said you were optimistic in the offense for this year. What's your take on the offense in general?
You know what? When I look at this offense, as long as Baker Mayfield is able to rebound from last year and have a better season, and I fully expect him to do that, then I think the offense will be absolutely fine because it has everything that you possibly need. And what it has this year that it didn't have last year was, you know, an organized, well-structured, well-thought-out offensive plan. That was missing right from the start last year. These are things that players have told us now since then. So it's not just, you know, me talking or sources talking. I mean, it just was a sort of haphazard, chaotic situation. That is no longer. Kevin Stefanski is going to be very detailed, very thorough, and these guys are going to know how they want to attack this offense right from the start. They're already doing it. They're doing it now. They're installing the offense in the virtual offseason program. And I think you can tell Baker Mayfield made comments last week about how good he feels about it. So I think that the offense does have the capability of being a top 10 offense. And I have every reason to believe that Baker is going to bounce back in a big way.
I saw a stat today, Mary Kay, that I thought was really interesting. Mary Kay Cabot joining us from a plaindealercleveland.com. Only one running back in the NFL had 15 carries or more in 15 games last year, and that was Nick Chubb. And I thought, well, that's really good. I'm glad they gave him the ball, and I hope they don't give him the ball as much this year. I don't want to see the guy carry the ball 300 times. And the main reason I say that is because you have Kareem Hunt sitting there, too. What kind of a balance would you like to see at the running back position?
Well, that's going to be something interesting to watch as we move forward. And I think what makes it somewhat intriguing is the fact that you can do so many different things with Kareem Hunt. So you can have those two guys on the field at the same time, and you're not necessarily looking at two running backs on the field. You know, you can split Kareem out. You can put him in the slot. You can do so many different things with him, and he can create the illusion that you're going to run the ball when you're actually really going to pass it. And Kevin Stefanski loves that. They love to confuse the defense and keep that ambiguity going until the play is underway. So, you know, I don't know that Nick will have, you know, 1,500 yards this year, but, you know, maybe they'll get a Ernest Byner, Kevin Mack situation where, well, yeah, they'll have 2,000-yard rushers or something like that. I think they're capable of it, and I think that they will both be used early and often.
You know, we haven't talked about the schedule with you yet, Mary Kay. Just what was your initial reaction to the schedule last week when it was released? I think that, you know, you look at it, there's a lot of opportunity, but you got to come right out of the gate and play, you know, Baltimore week one.
Yeah, they have to be ready, and that's the thing that stood out to me the most, because the Browns are at somewhat of a disadvantage heading into this season in that they have a brand-new head coach, and they are in the midst of a coronavirus pandemic. They can't do what the Saints did, and Sean Payton, you know, saying, hey, I'll see you guys at training camp. You know, the Browns don't have that luxury right now. They have to install all new schemes. So, you know, it might not be a perfectly well-oiled machine in the very beginning of the season, but it kind of has to be. They have to game plan it so that they can go into Baltimore and beat the Ravens in week one. So they're going to have to be ready. The players are going to have their noses in their playbooks every minute, and everyone's going to have to be out there getting into as great a shape as they can and getting those mental reps.
Mary Kay, I think if we all had to bet on it, I think we'd all bet that this team doesn't get together until, like what Sean Payton said to the Saints, I'll see you at the start of training camp. The virtual things are all well and good. I just kind of get the feeling, you know, it's all going to be put off until the start of training camp. That enough? Used to be. Is that enough in this day and age in the NFL with the virtual visits and all that, getting all the mental aspects put in for a team to get ready?
Well, I mean, technically, you know, you would say no, not with a team that has a new head coach and new schemes. I would say no, because so much happens in the offseason with the installation and in the mini camps and things like that. It does seem to me that because your last mini camp is usually done by the first weekend in June or the second week in June, somewhere around there, that it pretty much does seem at this point that the next time they would all be able to get together would be for training camp at the end of July, unless something drastic changes and they can squeeze in a mini camp in person before that. But I don't know. That would have to happen very, very quickly. It's going to have to be enough. They're going to have to be very efficient. And as we remember, Baker Mayfield saying last year that, you know, they weren't ready in OTAs with what they really wanted to accomplish and attack. That's not how it's going to be this year. They know the game plan. They are going to know the plays. They're not looking for an identity. They have an identity. We know what the Browns are going to be this year, both offensively and defensively. It won't be a guessing game.
Mary Kay, that'll do it. We appreciate your time.
Okay, sounds good.
Mary Kay Cabot, Plain Dealer, Cleveland.com, joining us on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.